Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
I originally put down a year ago when I planned all my series to talk on politics. I know, right? And I know if you're new, you're like, what kind of church did we just walk into? But here's the thing. I love politics. I love talking about it. I love reading about it. But you're never going to hear on this stage, I can promise you, of, well, you know who God would vote for, right? We're not going to hand out pamphlets saying, oh, here's all the people that you should vote for. I believe you can be a libertarian, a bleeding heart liberal, a bleeding heart conservative, and still be Jesus looking, right? So, and true story, I just remembered this. I was at a church once where I sat down and I looked at the title of the message and it said, why God would vote for George Bush, right? So it dates a little bit. And I looked around like laughing, like this is a joke, right? Like this is funny. Turns out it was not at all a joke. It was real. And began to tell us why God would pick this person over the other person. That's not going to happen. But I really do love politics. And some people believe that Jesus wasn't political. Well, it got him killed, so I think he's fairly political. When he said, I'm going to bring this temple down, rebuild in 3 days, that was part of the political system. When he talked about give to Caesar, what is Caesar's? Like, he went very much against the politics of the day, which is still being political. And maybe you're here, and you're feeling anxious about Tuesday, right? Maybe you feel a little bit of fear, and I should say it, right? Maybe you're wondering, like, why would people be afraid? Why would people feel anxiety or tension around an election, right? Well, maybe if you believe that, well, then you might have some privilege. Because if you have a friend who's transgender and what's been talked about, they would probably experience some fear. If you're a person of color, right? If you are a legal or an illegal immigrant. I have a friend who is one. Like, they're a little nervous, right? Like, it's okay to have some anxiety. And here's the deal, though. On Wednesday morning, you're going to wake up, and your person won, or your person lost. And your party took control of the house, or your party kept control of the house. And you're going to feel good for a little bit, or you're going to feel bad. But here's the thing. Like, whatever pain you are experiencing, whatever fear that you might have, whatever trauma is in your life, it's still going to be there on Wednesday. Because what does politics really get us? I absolutely believe that you should vote. I'm passionate about some of the political stuff, but at the end of the day, it's really not going to meet all my needs. It's not going to deliver me into freedom or even like a flourishing life. It will help. Because when real life happens, when you experience crisis, it's funny how it wakes you up to what's really important. I had the honor to be in a very sacred space with some of my friends this week. They lost their daughter. She was very young. She was beautiful. And it wrecked me. It really did. To do a memorial service. And it's interesting because I always do this comparing of, I never had the honor of meeting this young woman. And if it wrecks me, I think about how does it impact the parents and her friends and her sister. And it's funny, you know, when I was in that space with them, I didn't think about politics once. Like when real life happens, when there's a crisis, it wakes you to what you really need, right? What is it that you really crave for? What is it that you really want? What is it that you really love? And so I thought, well, let's talk about that. Because politics is still going to happen, and someday I will give a message of why, how Jesus and politics go hand in hand. But I thought, maybe we need to be reminded, or how about this, maybe I need to be reminded again of when we are woke to real life, how do we respond? And what I read at the memorial service was Psalm 23. And this is a psalm that is very dear to me. When I feel stressed or I feel anxiety or I feel fear, I go back to this psalm because it's important. I believe it's really important. So what I'd like to do is read it And then talk on how can we then continue to be a flourishing community? How can we be a good and beautiful Jesus-looking people? The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake, and even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you, my God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely the goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a bold statement right off from the beginning. And it sets the tone for the whole psalm of that I lack nothing, right? Lack nothing. Like, when's a time in your life where you felt like you lacked nothing? Usually, it's like after Thanksgiving. You're like, I lack nothing. I have all the calories, right? You go through the buffet line like a couple 13, 14 times, you're going to be like, I lack nothing, right? What else in your life do you feel like, do you ever look at your bank account and say, I lack nothing? No, you don't need to pay me any more money. I lack nothing, right? Do you ever look in the mirror and say, I lack nothing, clearly. I'm a specimen to the human existence, right? Like, you don't, maybe with your friendships, you feel that, but I imagine for a lot of us, we feel like I could really use some more encouraging. I really could lose a couple pounds. I could use like some more laughter. I could use some more money. I could use some more hope. So to start off by saying, I lack absolutely nothing feels very different. Because in our culture, we run out of a place of scarcity, that there's just not enough, right? Like, I mean, especially men, when we're driving, we act like there is like nothing more important than us to get somewhere very quickly, right? Like, the idea of letting someone merge in front of you is asinine, right? You'd rather like light your car on fire than let them just squeeze in. Right? Have you ever done that before, where you're driving like 55 miles per hour, the speed limit, and someone drives faster, and you're like, no, not today, Satan. Right? Why is that? It's because we don't want someone else to win. We don't want someone else to get the edge on us. We have to get home just a little bit faster, a little bit sooner to do nothing, right? It's out of this place, this scarcity of like, no, like I can't lose. Why? Because if I lose, then I'm a loser. And when we operate out of scarcity, it's really run out of fear, right? Like, to go back to politics, like, there's these ads, and it's hilarious, on radio. All right, I listen to the radio. I'm really hip, right? So, on the radio, they start with, like dark music, and it's like, Jeff likes to eat humans, right? If you vote for him, you want to eat humans, too. And then it's, like, positive music, like, but Jim, he just wants to take you out for lunch, not eat you, right? So vote for Jim or vote for Jeff, right? Like, it's all out of fear. It's fear-driven. And when you hear political ads, you hear this politics of some of these people, it's not out of this place of hope. It usually starts with fear, which leads you into having just a little bit of hope. But here it says that when we're around God, if God is our shepherd, we lack absolutely nothing. What would it look like to have that kind of confidence? Like, what would your day look like to not be riddled with anxiety? What would it look like for you to wake up and actually feel, I am enough today? Like this. Chris is enough today. And it's interesting. Because when we operate out of scarcity, when we operate out of fear, it's never enough, right? Just a little bit more. You have to stay at work a little bit longer, make a little more money, work out a little bit longer, like laugh a little more at your friend to make them feel secure, reassure them over and over. Like, and when you lean into that, it never delivers. The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack absolutely nothing. And then he says that he makes me lie down in the green pastures. I love this, right? How many people would love for someone to walk into your office and say, sorry, Jeff, Susie is going to have to lie down for a little bit. I'm going to force her to rest. She needs to take a nap, all right? How many parents would love someone to come in and say, you're taking a nap now, I'll watch your kid. And we're like, I love you forever, right? It says that he makes us lie down. And when I think about this idea of rest in the green pastures, I think about like Chubb Lake, right? The most beautiful place in the world. That's in Carlton, Minnesota. You're welcome, right? And Chubb Lake, which is, you know, rolling green hills and beautiful green trees and people running around happy, right, all the time. Or you might think of like the rainforest, or you might think of like somewhere in like Ireland, like the little blue river going through, and it's just really, really beautiful. That's what I think of. But here's the problem. David, who wrote this, didn't grow up in Ireland, right? He was in the Middle East. And they weren't known for like their rolling hills of beautiful grass. So what he's actually getting at here, of saying he leads me by still waters, he lays me down by these green pastures, it would just be literally just like this hill with a bunch of, or like pasture with a bunch of rocks. And in between those rocks would be a little bit of grass that just growing up. So it didn't look like there was just tons of grass. And it's interesting, because really what he's saying is, the shepherd leads me to a place where there's enough. There's enough. And when we think of, if we're in that scarcity place of where we have to get more, then we feel like, well, then when we have more than what we need, then we feel like we can rest, right? If there's like an excess of things and I have a plethora of things, then I feel secure. And here what David is inviting us into is, what if enough is flourishing? Sometimes it's good just to have enough. And you can trust that this good and beautiful God is going to lead you to a place where you can rest, knowing that what I need for today, he's already given me. Everything we need in this life, I firmly believe that God has already placed inside of us. It's not somewhere else. It's not some distant future. It's within. And sometimes, at least for me, I'm like, well, if God would give me more, if God would heal me of this, if God would speak to me in this way, and it's always like this bigger and better thing, then I'm like, well, then that will lead to something better. Instead, whatever got me here today, whatever got me to this morning, was enough. And when we can find rest, like the whole idea of he leads to green pastures, he leads to the water. See, at that time, the water, it was dangerous because they get flash floods. And so he's saying, I can rest knowing that when you lead me to a place to drink, it's going to be safe. That when I wake up in the morning, when I leave and I walk out the door, that whatever I need, it's just going to be enough. And when you can receive that, then you can really find rest. Because maybe you're here and you're grieving. Maybe you're here and you're bored. Like my wife calls it northern Minnesota under the big gray cloud, right? It's true. It's like the time of the season right now. It's like you step out and if there's a little bit of sun, you just like lean in like, hi, sun, right? Just let me get a sunburn, please. And maybe you feel just like, meh, right? There's days that I feel that. Well, you can rest. Even in the midst of your boredom, in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your joy, in the midst of your celebration, in the midst of the meh, you can trust that this good and beautiful God might be enough. Wouldn't that feel good to rest like that? To have confidence, to have faith, to have trust that tomorrow is going to be enough. And here's the thing. Jesus gives this parable, Luke 11 or 12, and he gives three in a row. The first one's about a sheep that goes off and the shepherd has to go and find it and bring it back. And about this coin this woman loses and she has to go and find it. And they celebrate when they get it. And the prodigal son who leaves and comes back and they have this huge party. All three things, sheep, coin, and the son, already belonged before they went missing. They did nothing. The sheep did not like text the shepherd and say, hey, I'm sharing my location, this is where to find me. That sheep did absolutely nothing to be loved, nothing to be found. The coin already was loved. The coin already didn't do anything special in order to help that woman find it. You can have rest, friends. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not one of those people that's just like, let go and let God, like Jesus take the wheel. That's not me, right? It's going to be hard. Life at times is going to kick you in the stomach. But you can rest knowing that everything you need to flourish is right in front of you. It's already within you. And when you can have rest like that, then it leads to something beautiful. The next part where I end is then there's this good and beautiful table. I love this. It says that he leads us through these paths, and even though I'm in the valley of darkness, even in the midst of evil, God prepares a table for me. And the table is not somewhere else. It's not an escape from the fear. It's not from the escape of the evil. It's right in the midst of a hellish experience. God says, Chris, sit down and dine with me. What a beautiful picture. Because at least for me, I think, well, when I get outside of the problem, when I get, I overcome this challenge, when we can break through that hard thing, that's where I can rest. That's when God will bless me and I'll be better when I'm perfect, when I'm, right? When I'm better. Because I think I have to be better in order to receive this table with God. And right in the midst of hell, God says, dine with me, friend. And that he fills up our cup. And the idea of he anoints us with oil is a sign of blessing. That in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your grief, in the midst of the gray cloud, there is a God saying, rest and eat. And the idea of being at a table where God is aware of my needs, that he wants to nourish every single part of my existence. And then where it ends and says, surely the love or the goodness of God will haunt me, will chase me all the days of my life. This kind of love, it says that he leads us, so it's out in front of us. He's at the table, that this love is with us, it's by our side, and it says that it chases us. You are immersed in a good and beautiful love, and you can't escape it. And in the midst of that love, in the midst of that lake that you're swimming in of love, God is saying two things. And for some of you, I believe this word is for you. As you walk through pain, or as you walk through celebrating, as you walk through transition, whatever it might be, as you walk through the anxiety or the fear of Tuesday and the elections, or as you walk through the celebration of it, there's two things that was reminded in Psalm 23. First is this, you are never alone. You are never alone. And you feel lonely, you feel isolated, you feel rejected. Whatever it is that you feel, you are never alone, friends. At the memorial service, what we talked on was a reminder that this God is always, always with us, and we need community. We need it. We need community with God. We need to dine with the divine, but we need each other, right? And in politics, at times, we look at someone else and say, what a moron, right? Anyone? Or am I the only one? I guess I'm alone in that, all right? I'm your pastor, by the way. You're welcome. So one thing I have to remind myself is that my sister, my brother is never my enemy. Never. You might vote differently. You might believe differently. You might worship differently. You might express differently. You're never my enemy. We need each other. Second thing is this. First is that you're never alone. The second thing we learn from Psalm 23 is that you are deeply loved, friends. You are deeply loved. In the middle of your hot mess, in the middle of your beauty, in the middle of your complexity, in the midst of your nuanced life, in the midst of your doubt, in the midst of your certainty, you are deeply, deeply loved. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to invite you in a little bit to stand, and I'm going to pray. And as I pray, if you're feeling any of those things and you want to experience heaven, just even for a moment, I'm going to encourage you just to receive that for yourself. Let's stand. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I thank you that you're a God who shows up. In Psalm 23, that you lead us to rest, you lead us to life, and that you engage with us in the midst of hard things, and that your love haunts us, that your love and your beauty chase after me every day of my life. And so I pray for my friends who need that this morning, my friends who feel alone, my friends who feel grief, to my friends who feel just on the outside circle. Will you come? And I pray that you would bring love Where there is shame, will you replace it with love? Where there is anger, will you replace it with love? Where we feel like the angry God pointing us, saying, you should have tried harder, I pray, God, you would replace that with love. So you be with us this week. We love you. Amen. Amen. So I know what you're thinking. Wow, that was a quick message. You're welcome. All right. So I'm going to invite the ministry team to come on up. We take time to pray for one another because everything I just talked about, that you are deeply loved and you're not alone, and we like to express that in practical ways. So if there's anything in your life that you'd like someone just to talk with and for them to affirm and celebrate and pray for you that God would do good things, the people up here would love to pray for you. And there's two things. Oh, I wrote this down. There's two things that I would encourage you to get prayer on. The first one is this. If you really do feel anxiety or fear about anything, I believe that God wants to come and deposit love. And the second one is this, obviously, is if today you're feeling alone and need someone just stand with you, we'd love to pray for those things. We're going to worship for the next little bit. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard.